The scene has indeed been beautiful. I am thankful that my God and your God has allowed me to be here and to enjoy this beautiful scene. And I'm thankful that my wife and my youngest son, Will, are able to be with me to enjoy this great fellowship, this great singing. It is such a joy to be here this morning. I am thankful to the elders, the fine ministers, for the invitation to be here with you these few days. Shortly after Bible class, I received two cards. One of the elders gave them to me and said, wasn't sure as there was no name on the card, it's just that there were some comments. The first card I read said, "We're so glad you're here. You sound great. Be mindful of the time." Then, "Just kidding," and then, "No, I wasn't kidding." The other one said, "Well, we're glad you're here. Now, we won't say if you preach more than 30 minutes, you'll disappear because you don't care about yourself, but if you preach more than 30 minutes, your wife would disappear." You got my attention. I'm going to do everything I can to preach God's word and to be as brief as possible. Yes, I'm a long-winded preacher. I enjoy preaching an hour or so on Sunday mornings, but I assure you that I'm going to perform a miracle this morning. I'm going to do everything I can to cut that in half. So you be praying for me, but I'm here to preach God's word, but I'm going to not try to make the sermon in eternity. But I do have something on my heart from God's word that I want to share with you this morning. I truly hope that what I'm going to share with you from God's word this morning will encourage you. I'm here to preach Jesus. I'm here to let you see Jesus through the preaching of the word. My name and who I am is not important. I say that because I honestly mean that. I'm not here to preach Sam Jones. I'm here to preach Jesus. And to you who are visiting with us from the community, thank you so much for your gracious presence. This meeting was planned with you in mind, and we're so honored that you are here today. I'm not here to try to make fun of your religion or to belittle you. I'm not here to try to embarrass anyone. I'm here to cause you to think about your soul salvation. If you remember nothing else I'm going to say in this lesson, I want you to remember this. God loves you. God loves you. And I'm going to do everything I can to try to, in this lesson, to convey God's love for you. God loves you. John 3:16 said, "God so loved the world." God loves every person on this earth. Every person in West Palm Beach. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants you to be saved. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 4. "God will have all men to come to a knowledge of the truth to be saved." God wants you to be saved. But in order for you to be saved, in order for me to be saved, we need to come to a knowledge of the truth. And this morning, my task is to present the truth about baptism. The theme is discovering the truth. This morning we talked in the Sunday school class about discovering the truth about the Bible, the big B-I-B-L-E. This morning we want to discover the truth about baptism, about baptism. And I hope you'll stay with me because my objective this morning is to convey to you, not from my thoughts, not from my feelings, but from God's word, the Bible, that baptism is absolutely essential for salvation. Let me say that again. According to the Bible, according to God's word, baptism is absolutely essential for salvation. In order for you to follow along with me, I'm going to do everything I can in a short time to make 5 points this morning. And when I finish these 5 points, I promise you I'll sit down. There are 5 words I want you to remember this morning in this lesson. Number one, authority. Number two, truth. Number three, salvation. Number four, blood. Number five,
baptism. One more time. First point, authority. Number two, truth. Number three, salvation. Number four, blood. Number five, baptism. Let's go back to point number one. When it comes to understanding God's teaching on baptism, the first and fundamental question we need to inquire is, who has the authority? Who has the authority to determine what you and what I must do to be saved? Do I have the authority? No, ma'am. Do you have the authority? No, ma'am. What about my mom? What about your mom? What about preachers? What about Congress? Who has the authority to authorize what you and I and every person in West Palm Beach, every person on earth must obey in order to be saved? Let's not go to my feelings. Let's go to the Bible and discover who has the authority. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. The Bible says, Jesus said these words, "All power, all authority under heaven and earth has been given unto me." When it comes to who has the authority, Sammy Jones has all authority. No. Dan Jenkins has all authority. No. The president has all authority. When it comes to religion, when it comes to what you and I must do in order to be saved, the Bible says Jesus has all authority. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 3. Look at verse number 22 and verse number 23. Acts chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Peter quoting from Moses, quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And he said these words, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, it shall come to pass that every soul which would not hear that prophet talking about Jesus shall be destroyed from among the people." When it comes to what you and I must do to be saved, the Bible says, quoting from Moses, "It shall come to pass that God's going to raise up unto you people a prophet like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things. And it shall come to pass that every soul, that every person that would not hear Jesus shall be destroyed." You know why? Jesus has all authority. Jesus wants you to be saved. And he has given us his will as to what we must do in order to be saved. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse number 5. Peter was always known to speak before he would do a little thinking. And one day Peter, James, and John, they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And Peter said, "Lord, it's just great for us to be here. It is so wonderful. Let us be of three churches, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And the Bible says, while Peter was yet speaking, God said, "Peter," paraphrasing, "shut up." And religiously, some people need to be quiet. He says, "Peter, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about." Verse 5. He says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Why? He has all authority. When it comes to what you must do to be saved, hear Jesus, not Moses. Hear Jesus, not Jeremiah. Hear Jesus, not Isaiah. Hear Jesus, not Sam Jones. What I think doesn't matter. What you think doesn't matter. What mama thinks doesn't matter. It's what Jesus has said in his book. Amen. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. Look at verse number 12. Acts 4 verse number 12. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." How plain can you be? Do you need to know Greek to understand that? Do you need a new hermeneutics? "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name, there's none other man giving authority to teach us whereby we must be saved than Jesus." When it comes to what you must do to be saved, who has the authority? Jesus has the authority. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, in Hebrews 1 and verse number 1, God once spoke to the people through the prophets. But in these days, God once spoke to the people by the prophets, but in these days, in 2007, God doesn't speak to us through prophets,
But God speaks through us through his son. Who is his son? Look at Hebrews 2. Look at verse number 8. Whom he has given all power and put all things into subjection at his feet. What's my point? Jesus has all authority. And there are many other verses that I could turn to, but I think you get the point. When it comes to what you and I must do to be saved, Jesus has the authority. Let's go to point number 2. And that is truth. Since Jesus has all authority, can we know the truth about baptism? Can we know the truth about worship? Can we know the truth about any religious subject? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And I'm glad you inquired. I'm glad you want to know that we can know the truth. You know why? Turn to John 16, 13. The Bible says, and John 16, 13, we looked at some of these verses in Sunday school class this morning. And John 16, 13, the Bible says, how be it when he. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 26, John chapter 15, verse 26, that he was going back to the Father. He says, but let not your hearts be troubled, because I'm not going to leave you without a comforter. When I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. And what was going to be the job of the Holy Spirit? John 16, 13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. Isn't that wonderful? We can know all the truth. You know, we can know the truth about what a person needs to do, what a person must do in order to be saved. Why? Because we have all the truth. John 8, verse 32, the Bible says, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Well, what is the truth? Not only can we know the truth, we can identify the truth. Turn to John 17, 17. John 17, 17. The Bible says, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Not only can we know the truth, not only do we have all the truth, we can identify the truth. The truth is not my feelings. The truth is not your feelings. The truth is not what mama believes or what daddy believes or what the preacher thinks. The truth is the word of God. You know why? Jesus said it. And who is Jesus? The man with all of the authority. You see, it matters what Jesus says because he has all of the authority and he has given us all the truth. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 17. The Bible says something interesting there in the King James. I like the way the King James says it. The Bible says, be ye therefore not unwise, but be ye wise, understanding what the will of God is. You don't have to go through life being ignorant. You don't have to go through life being uneducated. You don't have to go through life being uninformed. He said, we can know God's will. But the only way we can know God's will is that we have to open up the book and read it. And it will convey itself to us. God will convey his will to us. And you don't have to be a high school graduate. Isn't it wonderful that you don't even have to have a high school education to understand the Bible? God's word of God is that plain that even a child can understand it. And that's why my preaching is so simple, that even a child should be able to understand it. I shouldn't make the word of God and my sermon so difficult that you have to be a college graduate to understand it. The word of God is simple, that we all can comprehend God's will. I want you to turn to one more beautiful verse. Turn to 2 Peter again. We looked at this verse this morning, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. It talks about the word of God. I just love these two verses. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this verse, that no part of the scripture is of any man's private interpretation, but holy men, inspired men of God, wrote as they were moved, as they were guided, as they were directed by the Holy Spirit. We have all the truth because Jesus went back to heaven and the Father sent the Holy Spirit to guide the writers of the New Testament, that we could have an unadulterated will of God. You can trust the Bible. Jesus has all authority. Jesus has revealed unto us all the truth.
2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you need to know, everything I need to know in order to be saved is right here in the Bible. Point number three, why do I need salvation? Jesus has all authority. He's given us all the truth. Why do I need salvation? Turn to Romans 3, verse 23. The reason I need salvation, the reason you need salvation is because of Romans 3, verse 23. The Bible says, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Not all are born in sin, all will sin. Every one of us will eventually sin. We're not born in sin, but every one of us will sin. How do I know we're not born in sin? Turn to Acts 17, verse 29. And Acts chapter 17, verse 29, Paul made it clear to the Athenians in Acts 17, verse 29, that we are the offspring of God. If we're the offspring of God, if we're the children of God, and God is pure, God is holy, how can we be born in sin? We are the offspring of God. We're born innocent. But sin is a transgression of God's will. And every one of us will eventually transgress God's will. 1 John 3 and verse number 4. And when we transgress God's will, we sin. Every one of us know there are things we ought to do, but we don't do. James 4 verse 17. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. We will all sin, but we're not born in sin. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18 verse number 20. Ezekiel said a long time ago, made it very clear, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're not born in sin, but if we sin, then we are subject to the consequence of sin. So all of us will sin. And because all of us will sin, we need to know the truth. We need to know who, the man who has the authority. What is it that you will have me to do in order to be saved? Now, before I can go to point number four, you need to know the consequence of sin. Turn to Romans chapter 6, look at verse 23. You see, if you don't have your sins forgiven, if you're not redeemed, if you're not justified, the wages of sin is death. This morning, you need to have your sins forgiven. Who needs to have his sins or her sins forgiven? Every one of us, because all will sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin, Sammy, is death. Not physical death, spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. You don't want to be separated from God. Therefore, you need to be inquiring this morning, what must I do to have my sins forgiven? What must I do to have my sins washed away? Turn to John 8, verse 21. And when something is mentioned in the Bible over and over, God is trying to make a point. Look in John 8, verse 21. He says it again in John 8, verse 24. Sammy, if you die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot come. If we die in sin, where is Jesus right now? He's in heaven. Where do we want to go? To heaven. But if we die in sin, we can't go to heaven. Then we need to be inquiring, what can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? What can make me so that the Lord will say, well done? But we can't go to heaven with sin. Therefore, we need to have sin removed. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 27. John wrote very clearly in Revelation 21, verse 27, there shall in no way enter into heaven those who have committed abomination. And then he lists certain sins, that if we sin, if we still have sin in our lives, we won't be able to go to heaven. So why do you need salvation? Because of sin. That brings me to the fourth question. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why? There's wonderful working power. Where? It's in the blood. Where's the power to redeem? Where's the power to save? It's in the blood. Why? Jesus said it. Who is Jesus? The man who has all authority. And Jesus says the power to save is in blood. Let's look at some few verses that convey the importance of blood. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 21 and verse 22. In Hebrews 9, verse 21 and 22, the Hebrew writer wrote this, that in the Old Testament, what they would do to purify things whereby God can use them and servants, he would sprinkle them with blood, the blood of bulls and goats and animals, and they would purify those things, those vessels, that they could be used in the sanctuary. And verse 22, he says, and all things are by law purged with blood, cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God has always, this is nothing new, God has always used blood to purify things, to cleanse things whereby they can be used, whereby they can be cleansed of impurities. In Leviticus chapter 16, verses 8, 9, and 10, you will see where Aaron, when he came once a year, he would take two goats and he would offer one goat for the sins of the people. And he would let the other goat go as an escape goat and would take away the sins of the people for 1 year. And then the priests would offer a bullock and he would offer the blood of that bullock for himself and for his family. The point is blood of animals and goats were used in the Old Testament to purify things. There's just one problem. Turn to Hebrews 10, verse number 4. There's just one problem. And Hebrews 10, verse number 4, the Bible says it's not possible, even though they did this, it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. It wasn't powerful enough. It wasn't strong enough. Even though God authorized this, it was never designed to completely take away sin. But every year, Hebrews 10, look at verse number 11. Every day the priest would stand in the altar, before the altar with the blood of bulls and goats, and offering for the sins of the people, which could never, ever take away sin. It only rolled it back for a year. But then it came along something great. Then it came along something marvelous. Turn to Romans 8, verse 3. The Bible says, for what the law could not do. Oh, I love this verse. It made me almost want to jump up and down. I like this verse. But what the law could not do, and that it was weak, God sent forth his son. Who is his son? The man with all of the authority. The man who has conveyed the truth. The man who wants you to be saved. What the law could not do, and that it was weak, God sent forth his son to do, and that is to redeem us from our sins. What did Jesus do for us? Something that blood of bulls and goats couldn't do. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9 again. Look at verse number 12. Look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12. What did Jesus do? When Jesus went back to heaven, he didn't go back to heaven with the blood of bulls and goats and calves, but he went before God with his own blood, and he offered God his blood. And now he has obtained for us, the Hebrew writer says, he has obtained for us eternal salvation, eternal redemption. Why? There's power in the blood. Not just anybody's blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And that's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus, in John 1 and verse number 29, he says, behold, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. There's power. Not just any kind of power. There is wonderful working power. But where is the power? It's in the blood. And whose blood? The blood of the Lamb. What Lamb? Jesus Christ. There is wonderful working power in the blood of Jesus. And in order for you to be saved, and in order for me to be saved, it's not that I have to accept Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior. You and I must come in contact with that blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Stay with me. How do we come in contact with the blood? Whereby our sins can be washed away.
whereby our lives can be purified. Stay with me. I'm going to tell you in just a moment. But there's two more verses we need to look at. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter wrote these words. Seeing that you were redeemed, Sammy. I like this, these two verses. Seeing that you were redeemed not with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation. You see, silver and gold can't buy your salvation. You were not redeemed. You were not justified by corruptible things as silver and gold. But, I like that conjunction. I hope you don't mind me yelling. I get carried away sometimes. He says, but you were redeemed, but with the precious. Oh, the wonderful blood of Jesus. Oh, that's why I love God so. That's why I love Jesus so. I'm redeemed and I can sing that song because not of my works, but because of the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb is only powerful enough to wash away sin. Tide washing powder can't do it. I don't care what kind of detergent you go to back home, we have Walmart. You can't go there and buy detergent strong enough to wash away sin. The only thing that's powerful enough to wash away sin is the blood of the Lamb. And in order for you to be redeemed, you have to come in contact with the blood. Oh, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Paul wrote to the saints in Ephesus. And he told them that you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Look in Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 9. You were justified by the blood of the Lamb. But how do you come in contact with the blood? That's my fifth and final point. Baptism. Jesus says, go again to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who said it? Jesus. Who's Jesus? The man with all authority. What was he revealing? The truth. Why do I need truth? Because I'm a sinner. Because I'm a sinner, I need to obey the truth whereby my sins can be washed away. Jesus died on the cross to make his blood available, that anyone and everyone can be saved for the grace of God, Titus chapter 1 and Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Salvation is available to everybody in this building. Salvation is available to everyone in West Palm Beach. But in order for you to be saved, you have to do your part. God has already done his part. God gave his son. Now your part is that you have to obey his son. And his son says we have to walk by faith. Now you can't see it. But in this water, in this baptismal pool, there's blood. I'll stay with me. There's blood. And when you go down into that watery grave by faith, and that watery grave of baptism, that's the blood of Christ, by faith, your sins are washed away. Why? Jesus said it. Why did Jesus put salvation there? I don't know. He just did it. My job is not to question a man with authority, just to preach what he told me to preach. And he says, go ye into the world. Is West Palm Beach part of the world? And he says, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? There's salvation in the water. Why? Because there's blood in the water. When you get in the water, you come in contact with the blood. Now turn to Romans 6, verse 17. Two of the most beautiful verses in all of the Bible. Romans 6, 17. God be thanked. I just get excited. I just want to jump off this pulpit when I read that verse. God be thanked that Sammy, you once was a servant of sin. You once was a slave to sin, but there's that conjunction again. But you did something. You obeyed from the heart a form of doctrine. And when you obeyed that form of doctrine, you were then made what? Free from sin. Why do I need to be free from sin? Because you can go to heaven when you're free from sin. If you die in your sin, Jesus says, where I am, you cannot go. What do I need to do this morning? I want to know what must I do to be free from sin. You have to obey a form of doctrine. And when you obey that form of doctrine, you were then made free from sin. What form did they obey? Go back to Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 2. They died to sin. They died to sin. What was the second thing they did? They were buried in a watery grave of baptism. And the third thing, they rose again to walk in the newness of life. They died, they were buried, they were baptized, and then they rose again to walk in the newness of life. And Paul says, God be thanked that you once were the servant of sin and you obeyed from the heart a form of doctrine. When you did this, you were then made free from sin. Why? Jesus said, do it. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. The gospel consists of Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you obey that form of doctrine, you can then be made free from sin. Turn to Acts 22. Look at verse 16. And I'm closing. I'm coming down. Acts 22, verse 16. Saul, this man who had persecuted many, Ananias, he went up to, wanted to know what he needed to do to be saved. Listen to what Ananias told him. Oh, just accept Jesus Christ into your heart as a personal Savior and you can be saved. No. Just go to the mourner's bench and tarry there. You can be saved. Just get religion. No. And Acts 22 and verse number 16, he says, arise and be baptized. For what purpose? To wash away your sin. How do you wash away your sins? In the act of baptism. That's why baptism is essential for salvation. Because in the act of baptism, you come in contact with the blood of Christ by faith. And on the day of Pentecost, when they inquired, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? He said, get religion. No. He said, accept Jesus Christ into your heart as a personal Savior. No. He says, repent and be baptized, some of you. No, every one of you. Why? For the forgiveness of your sins. Can you be saved without baptism? No. Why? Because you can't be saved without being cleansed by the blood of Christ. And the only way you can come in contact with the blood of Christ is through the act of baptism. Now read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Baptism does also what? Now save us. Why? Because Jesus said it. Who's Jesus? A man with all of the authority. Two verses and we're going to close. The lesson will be yours. Revelation chapter 7. John was afforded a wonderful opportunity to glimpse into heaven. And John said, I saw a number that no man could number. And it made John happy because he saw a number as the sands of the seashore that no man could number. Then look down at verse number 14, 13 and 14. One of the elders said unto John, who are they? And whence came they, John? John said, Lord, I don't know. You know, you tell me. One of the 24 elders said unto John, these are they, John, who have come through great tribulation. These are they, John, who have had their lives washed in the blood of the Lamb. These are they, John, who have been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. You see, who would be that great number of those people who have obeyed the gospel? What is the gospel? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, still not convinced? Turn to Revelation chapter 20 then. Look at verse number 6. Now, I'm not an MC Hammer fan, okay? I remember a few years ago I was watching the Super Bowl and they had that 15-second advertisement of Hammer. Well, one thing Hammer said, I want to borrow from him. You can't touch this. Well, got something for you. Satan, you can't touch me. You know why? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed are they, happy are they who had part in the first resurrection. What's so important about having part in the first resurrection? The second death can't touch you. What's the first resurrection? Baptism. What's the first resurrection? Baptism. Those individuals who have been baptized, who have played part in the first resurrection, death has no power over them. I'm not worried about hell. You know why? Can't touch me. Because I've had part in the first resurrection. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Who's Jesus? The man with all of the authority. Who's Jesus? The man who has revealed the truth. Who's Jesus? Has told me what I need to do in order to be saved. Who is Jesus who has sacrificed his life, gave his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. And now he has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Paul wrote these words very clearly and plain. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. One day the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, listen to this, and obey not the gospel. Oh, there's power in the blood. Somebody needs to come this morning to the wonderful working power in the blood. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why? There's wonderful working power. Where this morning? It's in the blood. There's cleansing power. And if you want to be cleansed this morning, we beg you to come. In order for you to be saved, you need to hear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you missed it, let me tell you. Jesus is God's Son. Do you believe that? Just believing that in and of itself won't save you. But having that faith, you're on your way to being saved. Then you must be willing to turn from this world. Except you repent, you're going to perish. And then you must be willing to confess with your lips, with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to make that confession today? If so, you're on your way to being saved. Just believing, just telling the world won't save you. You still have to be baptized. Why? Jesus said so.
That's right.
Not because I said so. Jesus said so. Right. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe the Bible? Do you want to go to heaven? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. The Lord doesn't want one soul to be lost, and he's pleading to you through my voice to come home. I'm pleading for you to come home. Give your life to Jesus. He wants to save you. But in order for you to be saved, baptism is absolutely essential. That's the truth about baptism. Won't you come as we together stand and we sing?